When you think about the Christmas story, not the Macy's version and not the Amazon.com version, but the biblical version of the Christmas story, and you think about the characters in the story, who are the first characters, other than Jesus, who come to your mind? I bet you'd say Mary and Joseph. And who gets top billing there? Mary, of course. The women always get the bigger of the two closets. As it should be, Judy says. But today, I want us to look at the Christmas story through the eyes of Joseph. Matthew 1:18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Now, I assume that you already know that the marriage process in biblical days was very different from the marriage process that we have today. It was in three stages, and the first stage was the engagement stage. And the engagement was arranged by the parents. Mom and Dad put the couple together. And you know, it's very interesting. Even though there are exceptions in the Bible, and there are exceptions in movies, it's very interesting that the young people found a great deal of comfort in that. Because they trusted their mom and their dad to help them make those decisions. Trust was involved. No one sang "Some Enchanted Evening." There was no dinner date, no movie, no kissy-kissy in the car. Instead, there was an arranged marriage. Trust gave them a sense of well-being. Trust gave Joseph, I believe, a sense of positive expectations. And that's true of you. When you trust, it leads to a sense of positive expectations. One of the foundational principles of the Christmas story is trust. And when you trust that your Heavenly Father has your well-being in His hands, it should give you a wonderful sense of well-being, of faith, of trust, of hope. Amen? Now, the second step of marriage was the betrothal stage. And this is where the couple agreed to marry one another. And this stage is even more important than the third stage, the wedding ceremony, because it was in this stage, which lasted for about a year, that money was exchanged. Aha. And a contract was drawn up. Aha. And that word contract is very similar to our biblical word covenant. Covenant. God is a God of covenants. When this contract, when this covenant was made, then the couple was considered to be legally married. Even though they did not yet live under the same roof, they did not yet come together physically as man and wife, they were legally considered to be married. And the key word is covenant. Covenant. In his various covenants that God has given to his people have found a great deal of hope and trust and a sense of well-being in God. Hope and trust. There are those words again. Trust and hope. And that's true of you. God has made a covenant with you. And he did it through his word, and he did it through his son, and it should give you a sense of well-being. God's promises are central to your sense of well-being. And they should provide you with a sense of hope and positive expectations. Now let's get back to Joseph. What was his state of mind during all of this? He was in the betrothal stage. And he was building trust with Mary during this time. He was deepening his commitment to Mary during this time. He was a good Jewish boy. And as a good Jewish boy, you know what he would have done? He would have been out building a house or setting up a home. He was making the nest. He was getting it ready for them to come together and live together and have a home together. This was a time of happy expectations in what was to come. And that was probably Joseph's state of mind, but we know what happened. We know that things got dramatically shifted. For Joseph, his happy thoughts turned to shock. Matthew 1:18, Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. What a perfect way to spoil a party. What a perfect way to heap humiliation on Joseph. Who told Joseph that his virgin wife was pregnant? We don't know. Maybe it was Mary. Joseph, honey, guess what? I'm pregnant. An angel told me so. Wow. Whoever told him, it had to have thrown him for a loop. It had to have jerked the rug, as they say, out from under his feet. He must have been terribly hurt, terribly confused. I would be. Wouldn't you? And I'm sure that there were two sets of parents who were also pretty upset and hurt and confused. And I'm sure that the tongues began to wag all around the town. I can't help but wonder how many of you have experienced a similar situation. I'm not talking about just pregnancy out of wedlock. I'm talking about receiving unexpected, shocking news. Life throws challenges at us, amen? Quite often in life, we hear unhappy, unsavory, unexpected news. How did you feel when that happened to you in the past? Did you cry? Did you curse? Did you pray? Did you get depressed? Did you withdraw? Did you get angry? How did you respond? Life throws unexpected challenges, and God included an example of that in the Christmas story. Unexpected challenge, hurt, disappointment, confusion, turmoil. Who would have thought that the coming of the Messiah would have those feelings associated with it? The happy expectations of Joseph were completely undone by the unexpected. Now, one of the scriptures that you and I have to deal with in our lives is Isaiah 55, verse 8. God said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." Now, honestly, brothers and sisters, those words are like a two-edged sword. Sometimes we love to hear that. And that's when our trust level in him is in full swing. But then there are the other times when we hate to hear that, because that's when our desires and our plans are not in sync with God's. Can you identify? Since the 1960s, over 50 years ago, one of country music's most popular songs was and is "Make My World Go Away." It was at the top of the charts for Eddie Arnold and Donnie and Marie Osborne and Ray Price and Elvis Presley and even today, Carrie Underwood. "Make my world go away and get it off my shoulders." Joseph could have sung that. Wow, look what's happened to him in his life. make my world go away. I can't believe this. And I suspect that you have uttered that sentiment more than once in your life too. I know I have. Sometimes I want God's way to be my way, not his way. Can you identify with that? By the way, Eddie Arnold had another hit country song in his day, and it went like this. My pain, he's talking about emotional pain. My pain comes and goes. It comes in the morning, and it goes all night long. Been there? Done that? Are any of you in that situation right now? Are you in a position of emotional pain right now that you just can't seem to see any rainbows in the future? It's all fog. It's all mist. It's all clouds. If so, I want you to remember Joseph and his example in the biblical story. You know his example. You know it well. And we haven't even talked about it yet. Let's do that. Matthew 1:19. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce Mary quietly. He had the right to divorce her. That was the Jewish law. The law was on his side. He could even have taken Mary to the city gate and had her stoned to death. That was his right at that time. And by doing that, his name, his reputation, his humiliation would have been restored. But because he was a righteous man, a righteous man before God, and because he loved Mary very deeply, he decided to protect her from disgrace. Let me ask you something. How many times in your life have you ever wanted to take your boss to the city gate and have him stoned? Or a teacher? Or a pastor? Or a committee member? Or even your spouse? For those of you who are married, has your spouse ever done anything to disappoint you? To hurt you? Unexpected hurt and pain? How did you react to that? Was it with verbal abuse? Or worse? Now, this is unsettling, what I'm about to say. But statistically speaking, there are Christian husbands sitting in this room right now who have not treated their wives with the heart of Joseph. Behind closed doors, it's very possible that we could hear some ugly, negative, bitter words being said from some of you husbands towards your wives, and some of you wives towards your husbands. We talked about that recently when we talked about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we talked about the fact that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is very positive, but in our sinful nature, we have a way of negating all of that positive thing, all those positive things about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Very negative. The Christmas story, however, in spite of Mary's shocking news, does not begin with negativism. It evolves to that when we get to the part about Herod and the babies and the slaughter, but in Joseph, and he's our central character today, the Christmas story begins with grace. It begins with respect. It begins with forgiveness. It begins with love for his wife. You husbands, if you need this, I urge you to let go of the heart of King Herod and embrace the heart of Joseph in your marriage and treat your wives with love and respect. Paul could have written 1 Corinthians 13, you know, the great love chapter, to Joseph. He could have written it about Joseph. Patient, kind, not rude, not easily angered, no record of wrongs, protects, trusts, hopes, and perseveres. Men, let us have the heart of Joseph towards our wives. Women, say amen. That wasn't very strong. You're afraid to say it. You're sitting right beside him, right? Afraid to say it. And I want you to remember something. Joseph was rewarded for his treatment of Mary. He was rewarded by God himself. Matthew 18, verse 19, Joseph had in mind to divorce Mary quietly, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. He had an epiphany. In fact, he had a double epiphany. He had a supernatural visit from one of God's messengers, and he had a flash of insight from this visit. Double epiphany. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, stop right there. Son of David, he used one of the most exalted titles of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is called the Son of David with a capital S. Joseph here is called Son of David with a lowercase s. Why did he call him that? Because he belonged to the line and the house of King David. And because of that, Joseph was one of the persons who was prophesied to be in the Christmas story. He fulfilled one of the prophecies, being of the line of David. The angel said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home. Remember, he's preparing a home. Do not be afraid to take Mary home. That's the wedding ceremony. As your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. God gave Joseph divine direction. He was in the midst of having to make one of the toughest decisions of his life. And God gave him divine direction. Merry Christmas, Joseph. Are you in the middle of making a tough decision? Have you ever had to make a tough decision? Well, does the sun rise? Do you have tough decisions in front of you? God is in the business of giving divine direction. Hallelujah. God paved the way for Joseph to finalize his decision. Difficult decisions come in our lives all the time, and life is filled with unexpected interruptions that require us to make choices. The beginning of the Christmas story includes the fact that God brings divine direction to those who are righteous. Merry Christmas to all of us. If you're dealing with a very difficult decision right now, or if that happens, I mean, maybe this week, you're going to be hit with a decision that was unexpected. I want you to remember that God gives divine direction. Remember Joseph, righteous person, and ask God to speak to your heart and your mind. Now, here's another part of the gift that God gave to Joseph in that epiphany, and it has to do with Joseph's understanding of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is, you know, that's a huge concept. It's difficult for man's brain to get around the Holy Spirit. Joseph was a good Jewish boy, but Joseph, remember, had one foot in the Old Testament and one foot in the New Testament. This is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the beginning of the New Testament. He's still an Old Testament Jew. Joseph was. And his concept of the Holy Spirit was that the Holy Spirit was an agent of creation. And that the Holy Spirit inspired the prophets to write and say their words and inspired holy men to do what they would do. In terms of creation, Joseph would have remembered Genesis 1:2, which says, "Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." And in the next verse, God said, "Let there be light." And Joseph could have heard these words of the angel as saying, "This baby is going to bring light," which he did. And in terms of the Holy Spirit bringing truth to men of God, the good Jew would say that the Holy Spirit was totally responsible for all of the godly words that we read, that we sing, that we embrace, all of the prophecies of Jesus Christ. So Joseph would have heard the angel say, "This baby is going to bring truth, revelation." The Christmas story begins with a supernatural reminder of the Creator and the Comforter, all through the eyes and the experiences of Joseph. Do you think that Joseph had to exercise any faith when he heard all of that? Well, my goodness. I think his faith in God must have been bigger than his love for Mary. What a task. What a task. Matthew 1, verse 24. "When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home to be his wife." The second stage of marriage, the betrothal, was now over. And now we come to the wedding ceremony that took place, the third and the final stage. Joseph had completed all of the phases of Jewish marriage, and he took his wife home to the home that he had prepared for her. And that is a perfect picture of what God has in mind for you and for me. Jesus has prepared a place for me. It's got to be a wonderful place. It's got to be. All you realtors out there, can you imagine what it would be like? The palace that he has for you. He has prepared a place for you. And he's going to come and take you home to be his bride. That's why we don't fear death. Death is an open door into the promised land. How is your trust? How is your hope? The first advent, the first coming of Jesus Christ, begins with a promise of the second advent. The advent yet to come, all exemplified in the life of Joseph. Now, we know that Joseph's part did not end there. As the story goes on and develops, Joseph wanted to provide Mary with a safe haven in Nazareth, because they could have stoned her to death. He wanted to protect her. But Joseph was forced to go to Bethlehem for the census. He did not have to take Mary with him. After all, she was pregnant. She was bursting with child. That would be a dangerous, foolish thing to take her. But he took her to protect her. Many scholars say they believe that's why he took her. Because if he had left her back in Nazareth, he was afraid that the dummies there might have stoned her to death. Now, as the story fully develops, Joseph wanted to provide Mary with a safe haven in Bethlehem. But there was no room for them in the end. As far as we know, Joseph may have been the one to deliver the baby in that stinking cold cave. As the story develops even more, Joseph desperately wanted to give a safe haven to Mary from the madness of King Herod, who had decided to kill all of the baby boys. And once again, Joseph was led by an angel, an epiphany from God, to flee to Egypt. And that was another fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy right there in the life of Joseph. And as the story develops even more, Joseph became the earthly father of Jesus Christ. And that is one of the greatest reversals in history. He became the earthly father of the heavenly father. Can you imagine? Wow. We don't know what happened to Joseph after all of that. That's the end of the narrative of Joseph. But what we do know about the rich beginnings of the Christmas story, brothers and sisters, is that it was filled with God's hand on the man, Joseph, who was a righteous man. He was a loving husband. He was a devoted father. He was a righteous man who trusted when trust was needed the most. A man who faced mountains of unexpected challenges and received mountains of unexpected blessings. Of the many things that we could learn from Joseph, certainly we can learn this. Expect the unexpected and respond with righteousness. That's your charge. Expect the unexpected and respond in righteousness. Let's pray. Lord, I think as we all go through the Christmas story yet again, and as we think about the people that you used to bring Jesus Christ into the world and into our lives, we all have to ask ourselves, what would I have done? What would I have thought? What would I have said? Would I have disappointed you? Or would I have pleased you? And Lord, I pray for all of my brothers and sisters here, for me. I pray that when we do face the unexpected in this life, that we will be like Joseph, that we will be open to you, receive a word from you, follow you and obey you, and love even when love is hard. So Lord, let us be men and women of faith and trust and hope because of Christ, the Lord of Christmas. I pray in his name. Amen.